Hello and welcome to the Next Gen series of the Pre-Construction Podcast. As everybody knows, the Pre-Construction Podcast had tend to focus on the senior people within pre-construction, technology firms, architects, and they were giving us an idea of what the industry was doing, what the trends, supply chain, inflation, projects, technology. But I think it was time that we heard from the next generation, the people that are coming up through pre-construction and estimating and getting into it early. Give them a voice to let us know what they expected from leadership, what they expected from companies, what they were most excited about. So the first guest was Jimena Zarza del Puerto. She is an electrical estimator at James G. Davis in Rockville, Maryland. And she has got a brilliant background, a brilliant story to tell. She talks about her time growing up in Paraguay. She then went on to study law, which she graduated in 2019. And then she made the important decision to move to the US. But as we all know, that was just before COVID hit. So she talks about that, the heartache and the struggles of getting work in the US during a pandemic. And then, of course, we get into all the good stuff, what she's loving about, likes, dislikes about pre-construction, technology, her experience as a woman in construction, the evolution of pre-construction. And then, as her motto goes, it's never too late to start over. So I'm looking forward to hearing your feedback on this one. And as always, folks, listen, if you do know someone that's just come into pre-construction and estimating and would like to come on and tell their story, please feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn, Gareth McGlynn. I'll put a link at on the show notes. But as always, before we speak with the guest, let's hear from a couple of our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Steve DeLordo, founder and CEO of Concentric, the first holistic platform for pre-construction. As a former executive officer of one of the largest general contractors in the U.S., I have experienced firsthand the challenges the industry is facing, particularly in pre-construction. Pre-construction is still a highly manual and fractured collection of processes. Essential information is kept in ad hoc, scattered spreadsheets and documents, which really limits the understanding and hides the full picture of a project for all those involved. Concentric is here to change that. Our 360-degree platform unites data, workflows, and people. With Concentric, you and your team can access real-time insights and data, assess and mitigate risk to ensure a successful project outcome, and most importantly, unlock the enormous capacity of your talent and your data. To learn more about Concentric and to book a demo, head to our website, concentric.com. That's spelled concentric.com. Concentric, it's pre-construction recalibrated for the modern builder.
Jimena Zarza del Puerto, welcome to the Next Gen series of the Pre-Construction Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite.
This was an absolute breath of fresh air when you reached out and said you would agree to come on the podcast. I think it's really important to anybody that's listening to the podcast. We have got some incredible guests, the guys that they're at the top of their game and women across the US, senior people, directors, C-suite, VPs. But I think it's also really important to get the views of people just coming into the industry, because you guys and gals can teach us so much as well. So thank you for coming on.
Thank
and
you.
Your background is amazing. I cannot wait to get back into it. So let's go. Let's get started. Let's go back to when you were in high school. What was the, obviously, looking at your background now, it's pretty easy to say that the construction wasn't at the forefront of your mind.
Exactly.
What was your life like growing up in Paraguay, and what was the thought process when you were going through high school as a career?
Yeah, well, I always thought that I like more like social stuff. I was more like into politics, law, and stuff like that, because I was always like the person who argue all the time and wants to do the right thing and likes justice and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, the most a similar thing about my way of being, I think is law, because I was always like trying to do the right thing and try to defend the minority, I guess. So I just thought that law was my path, you know, and that's how I was thinking when I was in high school.
Brilliant. Well, I'll tell you what, that will stand you in good stead with a career in pre-construction, because every meeting you've got to defend your numbers. You've got to answer questions and fight your way out of meetings. So that's interesting. So you wanted to, you liked the justice. Obviously, you thought like being a lawyer was like being watching Suits. You were going to be Harvey Specter, fighting all these great cases. So you actually went and did law in Paraguay. How was that?
So I did law in Paraguay. I went to one of the top universities, the private ones in Paraguay, which is the name. It's a Catholic university. I studied law there for 3 years. And then I was like kind of confused to see what I want, because it wasn't exactly what I expected to be, you know. Law is a lot of reading. It's a lot of reading, especially. And I like reading.
It is.
But and then I went through just a weird path, and then I ended up in the U.S., right? And then I started a job with a subcontractor here in the U.S. as a, like, administrator at the beginning, right? And then they were an electrical subcontractor here in the area in Maryland. And then I was kind of curious about what they're doing. I just don't want to do any administrative things, because I was in a kind of mood of figuring out what I wanted, you know. And then I asked them to teach me about estimating, to teach me about what are they doing. I think it was very interesting seeing the big plans with all the designs about electrical. And I thought it was pretty interesting, right? I was like, what is this? Right. And then so I let me know if I'm going too far, because I'm just telling my whole story here.
That's what it's all about. The pre-construction podcast. It's conversational. You keep going, and I'll pivot and ask you questions as we go.
Yeah. So I told them to teach me a little bit about it, and they were actually looking for estimators. And I don't know how hard it was to find an electrical estimator for subcontractors, because I think they're looking for like a medium level and stuff like that. And it's hard to get like young people like me to go into construction and go, especially subcontractor. I think general contractors are more open and they're like in the big picture, but subcontractor, I think it's hard to find people that are well-trained or people that has a lot of knowledge. So I told them to teach me, and it took me a lot. I cried a lot too, because I thought I will never understand this. And we have the little measurement thing that we use to do the rolls to see to measure the length of the wires, for example, on the plant, right? And that thing for me was horrible, because I thought I will never understand, right?
I thought
I will never understand. I was like, nah, this is not for me. This is not for me. This is not for me. Yeah. But I keep trying, because it was so interesting, and I liked it. When I could understand what I did, for me was like so gratifying. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah. And you obviously had seen it as an administrator. You'd seen what they've been doing. You wanted to learn more. So you've got that inquisitive mind to go into it. And I mean, to have that as an estimator is really important. But was it your decision to go into pre-construction and estimating? Or did you actually think about going out in the field, maybe watching a few jobs put together?
That's what I thought. That's what I thought at the beginning. I was like, I might go to the field since I'm learning there. But I actually started by counting the stuff on the electrical. Like I was counting the lighting fixture. I was trying to, I actually learned more the process about reading plants, right? Okay. I was like trying to learn the symbols. I was trying to learn about all the code requirements that because I started to do residential, not commercial. Yeah. So residential is more pretty easy. It's pretty standard. It's not really easy, but for me, like doing single families for me was kind of easy, because it's very standard. And I have my mentor there who was watching me all the time, right? And then when I start catching it, when I start learning the plants, I start enjoying very, very. It was like, oh, okay, I can do this. I can do this. It took me a while. It took me some, I will say like 6 months maybe to learn in a really good way.
And just a minute, just on that, what was the most difficult part of it? Because, I mean, obviously not having a construction degree, an electrical engineering degree, you were literally starting with
From
nothing.
zero.
Exactly.
I think the hardest part for me, it was the conversion between meters and feet and food and feet and feeds. And that was the really hard part because I know math. Like I study, I know I was studying law, but I still know law, still know math, you know? And so the conversion between meters and try to get used to it to that was a really difficult thing to do. And also to try find the type of wires that a house has to use. I have to memorize the 12 wire, 10 wire, and what are the lows for the 10 wire, what are the lows for the 12 wire. And then I had to learn like the appliances, what kind of wire they use it, what kind of low they usually pretty standard are, what are the equipments on a house, a single family has to be, you know, in the attic, on the basement, stuff like that. That was very, very hard to learn because of course I never did, right?
It was a
And
good it was a good starting point with the single family home, the
I
residential
think
side.
it's perfect. I think it's perfect because it's a pretty standard, you know, all the times I have to be the same thing, you know. You always gonna have a refrigerator, you're always gonna have a microwave, you're always gonna have a dishwasher, especially in the US. They're pretty very standard with their equipment that they're gonna use in the single families, you know.
Brilliant. And then obviously the quantities. Did you get involved with procurement and that side of it as well?
So I at the beginning I just started doing quantities, right? I started doing that. And then when I start catching it, I was actually asked, I asked to go to the, in the fields, right? Because I wanted to see how the process is. Now I know on the plants and how can I put that together in my mind to see in real life, right? So I asked and they took me a couple of projects. I was like kind of like reviewing the projects. I stayed there for a little bit. I stayed in the meetings and I was like managing the guys because I speak Spanish, which is a good plus. And mostly the majority of people in the field speak Spanish, you know. So I was able to ask them to teach me some stuff like, hey, how you put this GFI, how you wire this three-way switch, how you know. And so I was learning like that. But on the fields, I never got my hands there. I just learned by visually, but then I was like realizing that, okay, I need to learn more, right? I cannot just go to the fields and just do the plans. So my second thought was, okay, so I'm gonna try to do a course certificate so I can get, because in the US, to be an electrician, you have three levels. You have the sorry, the you have I don't remember the first one that I have the certificate. You have journeyman, you have masters, and you have the first level. I don't know if you're and the first level to get the first level, if you don't have a field experience, you have to take a certificate, a course that it has to give you like 30 hours, I think, so you can get like a license. Apprentice license, that's what it is, an apprentice license for electrical to like be able to, it gives you more credibility and it gives you more knowledge too because you have to take 30 hours of classes, right?
Of course.
So I searched for some classes around the area that I was living in Maryland at that point. And so I found one that it was it has like a agreement with the state of Virginia, the higher education, something like that. So I was like, okay, that will allow me to give me the credit hours that I need to get a apprentice license. And of course, I did more that because I wanted to learn more, you know?
Yeah, of course. You had the practical experience. Now you were looking to, for the book smarts, and you went and did that. That was a good step. Then when did the commercial experience come along? And I know, shout out to Spartan Electric, who actually gave you a shot at this and got you involved and got you into estimating, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get as many people into pre-construction estimating as possible.
Yeah.
When you came to the US, just to backtrack a little bit, were you considering any career, or did you want to get into construction?
Well, so in the US, I wanted to, like, because I had a degree in Paraguay as a lawyer, so I was like, okay, I might maybe try to do the transcript and see if I can just keep practicing law and stuff like that. But at that time, I came in 2019, when everything started from COVID, right? And I came to the worst time ever that an immigrant can come. So I was like stuck in the US because I couldn't do my transcript yet, because I came in October 2019.
Yeah.
So the COVID started in February 2020.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, oh my God. So I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. Like, I was going to get my transcript, and then I was like, oh yeah, but I need to make money too. I need to go to my work, and I was not kind of figure out what to do. So then a friend of my family is actually the vice president of Spartan Electric, which the subcontractor. So he told me, hey, just come here. Let's just work here as an administrator for now, and then figure out what you want to do. If you want to just start it for administrator, and you don't have to do anything electrical, don't worry. I know you don't know anything, so don't worry. Just do some administrative things, make some money, and then you can be able to pay to do a master and whatever you decide to do, right? That's what the first thing.
I love it. I love it. That's brilliant. That's exactly what we want. You got into the construction world, and then you found your calling within estimating. So you started on the residential side. Does Spartan Electric, do they do commercial side? Did you get into the commercial side?
I went to visit one job on commercial side, and then they started, when I started getting pretty good at residential, they were like, okay, we're gonna give her more like building apartments, which is our like big sizes, more commercial. I think I bid one Shake Shack, I guess. One commercial Shake Shack. Yeah. I choose it because I love their burgers. So I choose it, and I wanted to bid it. I started with Spartan doing more. I was mostly of the time was doing more residential, but I got into my hands a little bit on commercial, right? I was like doing one restaurant and then more building apartments. Mm-hmm. That was my focus of commercial.
And then so you stay with Spartan, then in October 2022 you move to James G. Davis. Now we're all familiar with James G. Davis and the type of work that they do. How was that transition into a general contractor, and are you still concentrated on electric, or are you across all divisions?
Yeah, so the primarily thing that I'm doing here is this is electrical estimator. Yeah,
good.
I don't have the title, the estimating. I have estimating pre-construction engineer because they wanted to get me involved in other areas, but I actually just want electrical. I like electrical. Yeah, I don't want to go in another area. I know how to do it. I learned how to read the plan so I can take some quantities for flooring, or I can help people, right? Yeah. But I want to focus on electrical because that's what I enjoy doing.
You want to be a subject matter expert, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So now that I got involved in James Davis Construction, I really like working in a general contractor. It's way different from a sub. I'm not talking anything bad about a sub, you know, but
what are the biggest differences?
Well, the organization, the bureaucracy that they have is, I think, bureaucracy. Sometimes I don't agree with bureaucracy, but here and at the job, I think bureaucracy is very important. And I really like it because it's more organized. They have, I don't know, my experience with subcontractors were like, we didn't have HR department, we didn't have marketing and stuff like that, like the little different areas, you know. They were like, okay, pre-construction, accountant, that's it. That's it, you know, and then you have to manage your jobs, you know, like there were in subcontractors, it doesn't exist the pre-construction part. You know, you estimate, you handle the jobs, you order, you manage, you do everything, you know.
And
That's what
that's
I.
the beauty of it. And then obviously when you go to the general contract, you're across all divisions. As you say, you like to concentrate on electrical. Do you work closely with the mechanical guys, the piping guys,
Oh, yeah.
and then the drywall? I mean, how collaborative of environment is it? Because being a subject matter expert within a general contractor, it is different compared to being an estimator across all divisions.
Oh, yeah. It's completely different. I'm on the MEP department, which is mechanical, electrical, and plumbing, right? So we have like a line. We all sit together with the mechanicals and the electrical, so we can collaborate together. And we do that a lot. Like that's very important because mechanical and electrical go like this.
Yes.
You know, you can't just bid electrical and not talk with the mechanical. You know, especially it helps a lot to talk with the mechanical actually, because all the time if we do like a 30-minute meeting when they assign us the same project. So we have on that time when we finish our scope of work, we do like a coordination review. So we have to see, hey, do you include this? Do you include this? Hey, I saw this on mechanical. That do you think are you gonna provide the disconnect? You're not gonna provide the disconnect. So that's a matter of coordination that we do. And we really do here really well. I really like my mechanical estimators
I
here.
love that. When you were with Spartan Electric, you didn't have to think about mechanical. You just put the bids in, you put the plans in, you didn't
Well,
care. But
you have to.
how important and what was the biggest lesson learned when now that you're working with mechanical so closely?
That you have to coordinate with them.
Yeah.
You have to. You have to. You have to. There's no way. And on the subcontractor, yes, they make you read the plans mechanical, but you don't have a direct contact with the mechanical estimator, which that is a really bad thing, I guess, because now I learned that mechanical and electrical has to be on the same page. They have to. They
Yeah,
have to.
absolutely. Yeah. And then obviously being in bigger projects, going from residential, James G. Davis, they do larger projects. What is the difference when you're an electrical estimator going from a small, even single home, maybe a bit of multifamily, to the bigger projects? What is it, just a case of everything's just multiplied or it's bigger or it's more complex?
No, actually, I thought it was just multiplied. But commercial, especially now, has a lot of more of low voltage stuff, you know, like the speakers, the DIS, and then they have like a whole new vision world for low voltage. And that's one of the main things that I had to learn, you know, the low voltage part. The electrical is kind of pretty similar, I guess, just the riser diagram where the equipment are going to go. You have more switch gears, you have disconnect for the elevators, which you can have that on building apartments, but in commercial you have more like their mechanical system has to have certain type of loads and stuff like that you have to learn the big loads, you know. And so far I did one vet hospital vet for
Wow,
animals.
cool, yeah.
Yeah. And that was a really good learning process. And I think the US does really well on designing the plans. I think, especially electrical, I think they really good at do a really good job. But if you actually take your time and read the plans, every single detail, you will find it there. If you can, you have Google, you know,
Yeah.
like you
Funny you
it's
say that because that's one of the biggest pet hates of estimators is not getting a complete set of plans or plans that are not
Yeah.
they're nowhere near detailed enough.
Yeah, that happened a lot, especially when we have budgets to do. We only have like one page of electrical, and then you have to figure it out by yourself, you know. And if more you do it, I think you can compare with other projects, and you can go and estimate some stuff, especially if you already done like a hospital, and then you see a similar hospital, you know that all the equipment, the MRI, the X-ray and stuff like that, you already know what they're gonna have, what they're gonna require, any radiation protection. And I think for electrical, it's pretty standard on that. You know, you always know that you're in on the medical equipment, you're going to have radiation protection. You're going to start doing the type of wires that you're going to use, the type of conduit that you're going to use. You know, it's not going to be the same as the one that you use outside of the room of the equipment, stuff like that. I guess experience is one of the main thing for
brilliant. Yeah, I mean, historical data is a huge thing within at the moment. And that kind of leads me on to my next question. What about, what kind of technologies are you using right now with GMC Davis, and how's that helping you?
Well, we're still using Excel. We're still using templates, like regular templates on Excel. We have some webs that we use for like the bit and bytes that we have. And so we can like, it's more of helping more on coordination than estimating, you know, because estimating is the same thing. And we use Bluebeam, which it really helps us to, I just use Bluebeam. I don't have to print the set of plans. I don't have to print the plans. I just read it through Bluebeam. It really helps. And that's a really good tool that you can use everything. And I really enjoy using.
Brilliant.
But we're still using.
Yeah, brilliant. And obviously someone like yourself who's coming in fresh from another industry, what has been the most important thing for you to get to where you are? Because you've done well. I mean, 2.5 years at Spartan and now performing really well as an electrical estimator at James G. Davis. What's been most important in your development, and what can we learn from your experience?
Well, first of all, find what you like. Find what you like, because estimating, it seems easy because people say, oh yeah, you can just open the plans and read through it. It's like, no, you gotta be very patient. You gotta be very detail oriented. Especially on electrical, you have to read all the things that you see there. You have to understand, especially. And I will say, keep learning. Don't like stick there and just, yeah, I just know how to learn the drawings. I know, especially electrical technology is advancing every single day, and especially solar panels. I'm taking some courses on solar panels too, because a lot of building apartments are including solar panels, and I thought it was very interesting to learn more about it. And I think it's a really big thing to learn, and not because you already know about electrical, you know everything. No, study. Keep your studying going, because more you know, you better do your work.
Yeah, and there's another big thing I want to ask you about. It's reverse mentorship, where people like yourself coming into the industry, maybe coming from another industry, can teach us so much as well. And then, so that means pairing you up with a senior person within your company. And again, him or her teaching you stuff and you learning from them as well. How important is our mentors?
I will say 100%. Especially when you started, you need someone who can guide you. You need someone, because that happened to me at the beginning. I was kind of shy. I didn't want to ask because I don't want them to think, oh yeah, she's so stupid. She doesn't know anything. She's a lawyer. She doesn't know anything, you know? And I was kind of scared of that. But then I will say I was so lucky, because my mentor, Anthony Kreitz, I will say his name because I love him.
Shout out to Anthony. Brilliant work.
Oh yeah, he's amazing, and he knows so much. He's not patient at all. He always yells at me, but we get along really well. I love him so much, and he actually, like, when I don't understand anything, he doesn't mind explaining me the basics. He always like throw me his book and say, go read it, and I had to read it. And but for me, his presence in my day to day for me was what he helped me to be here right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that.
Brilliant.
I'm going to say that. His help was everything.
It's so important, isn't it? To sound important. And then be able to get the answer that maybe would take you maybe 3 or 4 days to get. He can give it to you within
He can give it one second. And he didn't care. He was like, what I really like about him is that he pushed me to be very independent. You know, like, he just don't want to, Like you can do like, I don't trust in your work. I'm gonna check everything, every single thing that you do, you know. And he actually let me do my thing. And then I go to him and say, hey, I don't understand this. Please take your time. And he took his time and he was like,
That's
when I
amazing.
press, yeah, when I present the proposal, he was like, I was so scared to talk to the general contractors because I was like, no, please, please, they're gonna ask me so much questions. I don't know. He was like, when you do your work, you gotta earn it and you gotta be sure that you did it right. If you didn't write, try to learn by it. You know, don't hide it, don't hide from that. And he really helped me and pushed me to be very independent. So I think that helped me a lot to be where I am.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, that tells me that there's trust going both ways here. You trust him and he trusts you, and that opens up a great relationship. He didn't micromanage it. I get it all the time. People ring me up saying, Gareth, I'm an estimator. These are the problems. One of the biggest problems is being micromanaged.
Micromanager.
Yeah. It's not healthy for anyone.
No, he never trimmed. He one of the things another thing that I really appreciate of him is that he treated me as an equal.
Yeah.
I never felt I was lower because I don't understand stuff that he'd understand.
Yeah.
He was so conscious that he has more experience than I do. And so not because he knows more, he will treat me like I don't know anything. You know, he was like, you can do it. Go read it. I didn't have a degree. I was like, but I don't have a degree in electric. He was like, I neither. And I'm here, a master electrician, making a lot of money. And you don't have to, you just have to know what you do and you have to read it. You have to learn. You have to study. If you want, you will do it. And I was like, yes, you're right. So that's why I took the course, the 6 month course that I was doing. Yeah. And then he pushed me to do a lot. I was like, I did some courses for the National Electrical Code, the 2020 that it's going to come.
Yeah.
He told me, read the 2017, read the other ones, the 2019, sorry, that you have to learn, because every year they every 5 years they have some modifications on the National Electrical Code. And especially if you're an electrical customer, you have to. You need to know. And so he pushed me a lot to be very independent. He treated me as an equal. He never treat me as a, oh yeah, she's just new or she's a woman. No. Yeah. He treat me as a man. I will say he treat me like a man. He's like, hey, go do your thing. Like,
brilliant. Like, and that actually leads me into the other thing. Being a woman in construction, obviously the week has passed, but how were you? Because one of your quotes, it's never too late to start over. That was one of your quotes that we got from Women in Construction Week. And is that the advice that you would give someone that maybe is in a profession, in a job, that they're not 100% satisfied and they don't feel comfortable in? Would you advise them to get into construction and specifically pre-construction?
Oh, yeah. We have a really bad concept about when we talk about construction, people think in a lower way when especially women, when they work in construction, they were like, oh, you're an engineer or you're like electrical estimator. Like what, like why you don't just go do law and dress nicely and go to court, you know? And then when you're here, you actually, I feel really good when I'm here in construction. I feel empowered because I know a lot about electrical. And I feel like when I said that you have to, don't worry to start over, you need to start over, it's because when I studied law, when I got the degree, I was like, yeah, I can't do anything else. Like I already choose my path. Like why would I change when I did something? But like I wasn't afraid of changing my path because I already did something, right? Of course, if you do something, finish it. But don't worry don't think that you're too old to do this, or you're a woman, a very young woman, that you cannot do this. No, just do it and start from the beginning. And if you had to redo it again, redo it, especially on estimate. redo it as long as you got it right. you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's great advice. I mean, to me personally, we talk about women in construction. I think women within pre-construction and estimating is mm-hmm. the skills that they can bring to a pre-construction and estimating team, the diversity, the way of thinking. I mean, I see it every day. I see the most mm-hmm. The most successful pre-construction and estimating teams have at least one woman in them. Just her way of their way of thinking. It's a great added. Yeah. Do you see that whenever? Is there many in your estimating department? Is it just yourself?
Yeah. No. The MEP, we have two women, and I'm gonna say my manager. She's the MEP manager, and she's a woman.
Right.
And which that's why I was like, yes, I'm gonna go to Davis because the leader is a woman.
Yeah.
And I don't mind working with guys. Like, you know, I have a really good experience with Anthony, the one at Spartan. So I'm like, I don't have any problem working with men. Like, I don't feel threatened, and I don't feel less. I don't.
Good.
For me, if you know more than me, good. Try to teach me. Yeah. But if I know more than you, I will teach you. You know, yeah. I don't care. I don't want to compete with anyone, you know. I just want to do my job right, and that's it. I just want to do it right.
And everyone's in
I don't care.
You know, everyone's trying to do the best for their company.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. And just talk to me now quickly, it's towards the end here. The evolution of pre-construction, and you can talk directly as an electrical estimator. What most excites you about it? What technologies excite you about it? What can we improve in the electrical space?
Mm-hmm. I feel is I don't know how the other general contractors are. I just have experience with one general contractor, which is Davis. I feel like we have to have more trainings and stuff like that especially for that division, and try to training not for electrical, but for the other estimators. You know, I think it's very important for other people to understand more about electrical. It's like very basic stuff that people need to understand. And on the MEP side, I think more women should be working on MEP. I feel like those areas are more men predominant.
Yeah.
And I feel women should try to work more on getting on electrical or mechanical or plumbing, because it's something that everyone can do.
Absolutely. Himina, you're a brilliant advocate for women in construction, but also women in pre-construction. Thank you very much for your time today.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Hey folks, just a quick reminder about Advancing Pre-Construction 2023. It's happening in Phoenix, Arizona. It's happening on May 24th to May 26th. Now, if you're interested in going, it's the biggest and largest gathering of pre-con and estimating professionals. I'll be there, and a lot of my guests will be there as well. If you're thinking about going, get over to the website, simply Google Advancing Pre-Construction. During the checkout, simply put in podcast 10 to get a 10% discount. There's also early registration discounts as well. Jimena Zarza del Puerto, welcome to Question Time on the Gen Z Pre-Construction Podcast.
I'm in the middle of millennial and Gen Z, so I identify more as millennial.
I'll edit that out. Okay, quickly. Now, I know you're only in construction for maybe 3 years. Talk to me about your favorite project, the one that sticks out in your mind.
I think the vet, the hospital.
Yeah, the most recent one with James G.
Yeah. Dale. Right. I learned a lot about it, and I think that's, I love that I learned that, and I was able to see all the medical equipment specialties that electrical has to have. I think that's one of the main things.
Brilliant. Thank you. Biggest lesson learned in construction so far?
Pay attention to detail.
Good. Yeah.
Pay attention to detail.
That's good advice. Third question, how do you de-stress from this stressful world of pre-construction and estimating? What do you do as a hobby?
I hang out with my friends. My
I
friends
like
are
it.
everything.
Yeah, they take your mind off the stress of day-to-day
Oh,
work.
yeah. I can be very dumb with them, so I don't have to worry about nothing.
That's nice. What about favorite food?
Pasta.
Love it. Yeah.
Pasta.
I'm a
I love
big fan.
pasta.
Italian, any Italian food.
Italian. Any Italian pasta with cream.
Well,
I
there's a
love it.
question coming up at the end, and I think I know what the answer is going to be. What is your favorite sports team?
I'll say soccer, and I will say Olimpia. Olimpia is the name of the team in Paraguay. They are my favorite.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a Liverpool fan. Paraguay.
Liverpool. Oh, if we talk
Suarez.
About Europe, I guess Croatia.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Because I'm half Croatian, so.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
Lovely. We talked about this in the main episode there, but the biggest influence, so the person that had the biggest influence in your career so far, big shout out.
Anthony Grimes.
Yeah, brilliant.
He's my lovely mentor.
Good.
Sometimes we hate each other, but we love each other.
That's a good relationship. Love
yeah.
hate.
Yeah, love and hate.
Pre-con. Big shout out to Anthony. And then lastly, if we were going to having a trip to Rockville, Maryland, what is your favorite eatery? If there was a special occasion, where would you go and have a bite to eat or hang out with your
I think Korean barbecue.
Korean barbecue.
Korean,
right?
I love it.
Very
I love it.
nice.
And Rockville has a lot of Korean barbecue spots. And they're
Excellent.
Really good.
I'll try it out the next time I'm there. Hemina,
please.
As always, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Stuck in spreadsheets? Tired of the endless loop of copying and pasting? Now imagine all your estimating workflows in one program. Beck Technology's innovative Destiny Estimator software streamlines the entire estimating process. With intuitive tools and powerful analytics, you can create accurate and reliable estimates quickly and easily. We understand the challenges pre-con teams face because we were born from construction. When you are ready to streamline your estimating effort, visit us at beck-technology.com and talk with a tech expert in a Destiny Estimator demo today.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that chat with Hemina. It just shows you it isn't too late to start over again. And she's a perfect example of people, for me, that we've got to get into the construction industry. This is an example for everybody listening. The next time they speak with their friend, their cousin, their aunt, their uncle, no matter who it is, if you're in construction, talk about your role within construction. Talk about the career opportunities, and specifically pre-construction, because I think it is really crying out for more women in pre-construction. The skills that they bring to the table, I think, can't be ignored. They'll be a great asset to any pre-construction team. And as always, folks, Hemina is more than happy to answer any questions. If you have any questions about getting into the industry, getting into electrical estimating, whatever it may be, I will put her LinkedIn profile link in the show notes as well. As always, folks, stay tuned for more next-gen series of the Pre-Construction Podcast.